Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Good morning.
Welcome to Inside Petaluma, everyone. I am Cindy Thomas, co-hosting with Jason Davies and Janice Peter Thompson. And another Friday.
It is. It comes by really fast.
I can't believe it.
I know. I thought we were just here yesterday.
We're over 20 shows now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I actually have to check. I don't know how many we've got now.
Do we have celebrity status yet?
Absolutely. I thought we always did.
Yeah. This is our 22nd episode.
Wow.
And if people want to hear the other episodes they might have missed, they can go to InsidePetaluma.com. All of the archives are there.
Yes, you can. There's good shows there, too.
We got some great content.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, interesting content.
All right, Janice, you have something.
Okay, I do. I have some announcements that I want to announce, which is on Saturday, January 12th, tomorrow. It's actually from 12 to 2, but it can be from 11 to 3, it says in the newspaper, but it's about the public art on Water Street, and it's a Fine Balance, which some people call the Tubs, but it's actually called Fine Balance. The artist is going to be there. We're going to be serving tea and cookies, and we just want people to come on down and see. We're going to be moving it from one location to the next, so people see the height. They can understand the project. If they have questions, the artist will be there, and his mom is going to be there, and I'll be working with her and a few other people serving tea. So it should be fun. And so that is tomorrow, so about 11, 12. So I hope to see you there. And then on Sunday, we have Dave Eggers with Literacy Works. Hang on one second. Let me get this up. Okay, Literacy Works and Copperfields Books presents Dave Eggers and Mokhtar Alahansali in conversation. And it is, it's, Dave Eggers has quite a few best-selling books. And this one will be talking about coffee and how, you know, coffee came to be from Yemen. And so the two will be in conversation. It's at the Veterans Memorial Building. It starts at 3. The doors open at 2. Tickets, the cost for tickets is for $25, you get a ticket to attend and a book. And if you two people go, it's $35, and you get two tickets and a book. Otherwise, if people, I have some free tickets. So if anybody wants to go and they don't feel like paying, but they want to have free tickets, give me a call, 707-774-5912, or you can contact me on, or you can just email me at janicecater@gmail.com. And then the other thing is, on January 19th, the Women's March, it's going to be from 11 to 3. You're going to meet at Walnut Park. And I think, oh, then the other thing is, there's a new date for the Safeway gas station. It's not an appeal, but it's a do-over, and I think that's going to be the 28th of January, so people may want to put that on their calendar. And that's it for announcements. Do you have any extra ones, anybody?
No, I just want to mention that if anybody goes down to Water Street this Saturday, to bring your best manners. We're not there to argue.
Yeah.
But we're to observe.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Art is objective.
Yes.
It's very subjective. Excuse me. Thank you very much. It is. It's subjective. And so I just encourage people to go down, and thank you very much. You really have to be thoughtful of everybody involved and on everybody's different points of view. Thanks,
cool.
Cindy.
All righty. Anything from you, Jason?
Well, there's quite a bit going on in Petaluma right now. There's an article that leads into the guest that we're going to be talking with, so I won't get too into that, but they swore in a whole new city council and mayor, so that happened. A few things coming around town. People are concerned about the possibility that we're not going to get money for rebuilding after the fire disaster. That's something that's a county issue. And tens of millions of dollars are meant to help Sonoma County and Santa Rosa recover from the October 2017 wildfires. I'm just reading this off the paper. And prepare for future disasters. It's in limbo as the federal government shutdown continues with no end in sight. Plus, Trump has actually said that he's considering raiding the disaster relief funds to help fund his wall.
Yeah, this whole thing is criminal.
So,
yeah.
And it just goes to show you how, you know, national level issues do affect us locally and vice versa. So, so that was something. There's a new Starbucks coming. I'm not sure we need another Starbucks, but it's happening.
Where is this one going?
Be across from the Phoenix.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I mean, right next door here where the old bank used to be?
Yep.
Oh, where the bank is?
Well, it says, it says across from the Phoenix. So
next to where Rapunzel's beauty salon is.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. So we'll see. I mean, I've heard some people say it'll be a good thing because it'll draw more people to that area. You know, we've had restaurants that have gone out of business in that location not too far from that.
Right.
And so maybe that would bring some more people back.
Yeah, actually, that's really good.
We'll see. Anyway, so some new development coming into town.
We also want to talk about the school board on Tuesday was also sworn in.
That's true.
So that was, I went to that, I went Monday's swearing in, and then I went to Tuesday's swearing in, and both days were pretty exciting for Petaluma.
Yes. There's a nice article on Don Lewis. We actually interviewed him and John Bertucci. Don Lewis is going to be, or is now, the executive director of PCA. So there's a very nice article on Petaluma 360 about that. There was a poll on the Pulse of Petaluma right now. Last week's poll was, should Congress allocate funds for a wall along the southern border? And it looks like pretty interesting. I don't know who actually participates in this poll. Only 133 people. And 56% of them said yes, which is kind of interesting.
I think what's really interesting, I don't think that's so interesting.
No, that was the Argus?
Yeah, that was the Argus poll. Remember, it is a non-scientific poll.
Of course.
And we need to look at that. And Petaluma does have a very conservative group in town.
That is very active on Petaluma 360.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's skewed. It's not scientific, and it's certainly out of step with the way that the R County has voted.
But people certainly use it as so.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if you do want to participate in their Argus Courier poll on the Women's March, that's an active poll you can participate in, and you can say whether you're going to be at it or not. I just said yes, submit. On that, I think we should move on to our guest.
That's great.
All right. Well, you want to do the introductions, Jason?
Yes, I can do that. As he's sitting right here, we have Kevin McDonald here. If you're not aware, he is our new council member. In fact, you're vice mayor.
That's right. Good morning.
What a way to start. I mean, first time on the council,
well,
and first week, and there he is.
The highest vote-getter.
Oh, is that how it happened?
Mayor, and that has never actually been implemented. As far as I know, up until Kevin,
The vice mayor.
For vice mayor.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
The highest vote getter who's not already held the job. So
everyone
else has already held the job except the two newcomers.
Yeah.
And so there I am.
Yeah, I know.
Who knows the least is vice mayor.
We're thrilled that you won. I want to congratulate you again on that. And we're also very pleased that you took the time to come in here today because I know you have a very busy schedule. You have a lot on your plate. But let's talk about a little bit of your background. Before you ran for city council, you were involved in quite a few local topics. I remember you were working on the Measure X. Yes. But you also were involved with something called Know Before You Grow.
That's been very fun.
Yeah, so maybe you could just give our listeners a little bit of background on you and, you know, your civil engineering and some of the things you've done locally, just to give the listeners a better sense of you.
That's right. I'm a civil engineer. I work for a municipal water agency, and as a capital projects manager for them, I was familiar with board actions, board activities. I would meet with other cities. I would liaison to Caltrans. So no stranger to how government works at that level. And after a very long time in that, I've now doing that on a consultancy basis independently now. But also being in town, you just get involved with more and more issues. You know, if you're not careful, you find yourself on a board of this or on a board of that. And then if you're not very careful, you're chairing this or chairing that. And you meet a lot of people in town. You figure out what people's basic interests and concerns are when they live in Petaluma. And from that, one of the things we decided was we didn't have enough recreational amenities. And I tried to independently push that with just one community, one constituency. And you find out you need allies. If you have a really great idea and it doesn't happen, one of two things. It's either not a really great idea, or you just haven't made the right allies. And right. so you need to still meet people, build with people. And that's how Measure X came about. All the different recreation-type users, park-type users, all got together on that. And another lesson I learned on that is you need to get outside of your bubble, talk to people who disagree with you, because all of my friends said that would pass with no trouble. And they called when we got 62% and said, congratulations. Well, you realize that not everybody's a political junkie and knows tax measures need two-thirds.
Yeah.
And that just didn't quite get there.
Yeah.
But you mentioned know before you grow, and that's been something fun over the last couple of years, where we realize that growth is going to happen in Petaluma. It really is. Yeah. And we need to be involved early as citizens as to how to craft that, have the citizen input on that. I've been to many presentations by developers, and, you know, they point you to the paint color, they point you to the window style, things that can be modestly addressed so that, you know, the big issues are already sorted out, how it affects traffic, how much housing, what price point the housing is. Those things don't come up in the public purview, and they need to. We have a serious availability problem, and a serious affordability problem. We need to address those things specifically, and it will only happen if citizens get involved.
Kevin, I just want to kind of talk about, since you are on the liaison to the Planning Commission.
That's right.
And I was at the Planning Commission meeting the other day because of this riverfront project, which I actually took, I think I took you on a tour of the area while you were running. And when we talk about developing a community, I really believe that you have to have the transportation grid in there. And you can't just make it up as it goes along. And what happened with the Caulfield extension from Petaluma Boulevard to Caulfield Lane, it seems like the city or planning staff did not do a really good job of putting the transportation in first and then overlaying the development. So what's happening is the development happened because this is the way the developer wanted it done, and the city ends up with kind of an odd crosstown connector that's not really a crosstown connector. And as we know, traffic on Lakeville is getting worse and worse, and on D Street, and where's that connection from Petaluma Boulevard now over to Lakeville? It now goes through a housing development and then into a one-lane road, and it's blocked because the city has some wastewater pumping stations there. They have another old facility with old tanks for their wastewater plant. You have cops in the area. You have a lot of, there's not a good transportation grid down there. And what I'm really looking forward is to looking at the new council members to at least get maybe three votes so we can bring that back and have some real conversations about transportation in general in Petaluma.
Oh, we absolutely need that. And you make a good point here with this proposed development. I mean, it's in the general plan, but not everybody's thinks that things in the general plan come true.
I wonder why.
And let me tell you why I know that.
And I think we all have a chuckle on that, but, I mean, we have to, as a council, we have to, as a city, have trust in the government and our government documents that good things will happen and that the things we agree on happen the way we want them. And so far, it's not, which, I mean, we could start a discussion of Rainier now. But you're right there on the Southern Crossing, too. And part of it is communication. The city has to say more what its real intentions are.
I think it's communication, but it's also a city council that has a direction that is really looking at putting transportation grid first and then the development as the overlay. And that has not happened. And now we're kind of in a real catch-22 here. As example, up by Corona Road and Snowy Mountain Parkway, we have a roundabout there. We have the Brody property that is being developed, and there is not enough area to widen that roundabout. And to me, I mean, I've been watching this transportation for 25 years in this town. I think this is done on purpose, and I hate to say that, but there's not a lot of thought when we're doing these projects. And the city staff, or M Group, who the city hires to do this, seems to have a lot of leeway. And there's just not a lot of purview on the city council or on the planning commission to say, hey, we need to push this back about 5 feet because we need to make sure that traffic can flow better. And with that, I just want to say, 30 years ago or 35 years ago when a city manager gave the on and off ramp possibilities away for Corona Road, that was the time that Corona should have always been the new crosstown connector interchange. And now we're doing the exact same thing with Caulfield, blocking it off. And that is what I'm looking forward to, the city council, the new council, actually having a true conversation on transportation and being honest.
And I agree with you on several parts of that. Well, the M group, though, that runs city planning, maybe that's 10 years, and you know we've been dropping the ball for longer than that.
That's true.
As you point out.
You're correct.
Right. And it's really hard to go back and fix things after the fact. And with the Southern Crossing, it's built now. The roadway in to the development is all paved up there. And the extension lines, the city is doing its engineering preliminary studies on a crossing there. How far they get, how well funded it is, and what traffic solution it is, those are all things that are next steps. And the important part is, we can't fight the battle of the past. We have to take the facts of today and make a good plan with what we have to deal with today.
That's true, except that this project was just before the Planning Commission the other night. And so this is another problem that it's really blocked a crosstown connector. And I just want to talk about D Street real quickly. Mm-hmm. From the D Street Bridge to the rail station, that roadway could have been widened while we were putting the rail crossings in. And it would have been much, much safer. And the city says SMART won't work with them, and then SMART, you know, everybody seems to be not working well together, but it seems as though if it's in the general plan that this is the way traffic and transportation, the direction is going, we need to have those widened in the general plan, such as the rail crossings. And that didn't happen.
And we need to aggressively pursue them. I mean,
we do.
You know, we can't take no for an answer when it creates so much impact to us. But you know, you say Monday that the crossing was in front of the Planning Commission. The crossing wasn't. One unit of the housing.
No, that's true.
So the roadway was already locked in from past decisions.
That is very true. No, it was. It's locked in. But the problem is, it hasn't been locked in for that many years.
No.
And so that's why I think the city, the citizens of this town wanted a change on this city council also, because we wanted people that were more thoughtful. They were looking into the future, not
I think everybody that runs for city council wants to change the world. I mean, they want to jump up and, you know, they've seen the status quo and they're not happy with the status quo. That's what got them off their couch and engaged in
right.
I mean, it's an awful lot of effort that goes in. You always have to thank your spouse and the other people who put up with you and this kind of thing. But when you get in, you realize what a massive machine the city is and how hard it is to tilt the windmill in a different direction.
That's very true. Yeah. That's very true. Yep.
Okay, well, you're listening to Inside Petaluma. We have Kevin McDonald with us today, and it's such an exciting morning already. We've got transportation under our belt.
Yeah.
It's good to have somebody new to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, with your, you know.
Well, I'm really glad to be here. And like I said, you know, we really need a housing solution. We need to get aggressively involved in that. And you know, when you're campaigning, everybody tells you how concerned they are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to change concern to commitment.
Right.
You know, people have to say, well, yes, okay, I will contribute in this regard. And things. Many people come up with many good ideas for the community. And you have to encourage champions in the community. Yeah. The council can't be the single point. The council has to support a community energy that's going in a certain direction for a certain initiative.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to be a leader. It's a different thing to be a leader without any following.
Yeah.
So you need teamwork. Everybody, and I think a lot of the city at all levels needs to communicate better.
Mm-hmm.
And the public has to listen better, has to want to engage. And I don't know that we're ready for, you know, the citizens. Most people I met think Petaluma is a pretty nice place to live. And they're pretty happy.
Yeah.
You know?
But the community also needs opportunities to become engaged. If you don't have town hall meetings, et cetera, then how do we get engaged? I mean, we can write letters until we're blue in the face and make phone calls.
There's also
going to have opportunities.
That was the frustration that led to Know Before You Grow.
That's right.
You know, we said we are not seeing the city doing the job it needs to do.
Right.
We'll create a forum. We'll have people come and speak on these issues to citizens. Without us being the planning department or a developer, right, you know, we would discuss what the general plan means. And some of it is pretty wonkish, and other of it's right there in your neighborhood with real meaning.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I say this almost every show. I always talk about the Deer Creek Center, and I talk about Target. Okay. And I talk about when they were developed, you know, Amazon was coming in. You know, you and I talked about Deer Creek. You wanted to make it more of a community. Mm-hmm. And that's not what happened, because the developer and some members of the city council were pushing in more of a strip mall. It's a pretty strip mall, but it's still a strip mall. Yep. And both of those have large vacancies. As a matter of fact, when I talked to the developer of Deer Creek, he just made some comments that if BevMo was in front, closer to Washington Street, it would be more of an anchor to bring people into the Target Center. It's really how you sit and the businesses that you're bringing in. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it sounds crazy, but you know, when you have these conversations, it's really about how everything is laid out. And it's just good. How are we going to move forward when we have all these vacancies? And there was so much tax dollars promised from both of those centers to pay for transportation, to pay for other things, and it's not so.
This is the thing that gets me, is everybody has a position on things, an opinion on things, and clearly somewhere, somehow, there's facts.
Yes.
So let's... I mean, I'd really like
alternative facts.
Fake news for you.
We like the idea that there'd be a baseline of facts that we can accept, right?
But we have an economic development office, the city does, and that office produces data, and we can argue about it once it's in our hands. Once we have a way of communicating with the people, whether it's through the town hall meeting to discuss whether this worked. I mean, it was a huge battle to bring that shopping center to town. 10 years later, is it good? Is it bad? Would we do the same thing now as then? Where's the data?
Well, I don't think it's that as much as a lot of those points were brought up, but the direction of the center was already decided upon.
That's correct.
That's the problem. So it didn't matter what was said, because it's a campaign at this point. You fill the room with people that you want to get up and say, we have to build this because. And then the few people that are saying, hey, maybe if we look at this as a community, we do a mixed use, as what your group did.
Right.
It would have been different. But a lot of times these projects become campaigns instead of what is going to be the best long-term for the community. So you have to learn from it.
Right. And we need to learn by going back and looking at those places and saying, are they generating?
Yeah.
What is their vacancy?
Are there numbers? Can
exactly.
we look at what was the tax revenue that was estimated, that
That's
was forecasted,
right.
that was promised? What was actually delivered? What's the vacancy rate that was predicted? What's actually happened? If we can't learn from those mistakes, we're going to keep making them again. And that's been a problem. I think right now we're saturated a bit with retail. I think we went a little overboard. You know, when I was running way back when, I wasn't successful, but I remember one of the other candidates was a former council member who was running, and she kept saying the whole time, we need more shopping opportunities. That was her big pitch, you know, we need more shopping opportunities. I don't know if we'll ever have the shopping opportunities that that person wants, because I imagine she probably goes to Costco still as well.
That's true. And I think a lot of the shopping has changed with Amazon.
Exactly.
Exactly.
People order online.
Yes. I mean, that's right.
That was already happening.
We knew that.
When we say there's retail now, it's not the same retail community it was before. Right. Now we're talking about services.
Yeah.
I mean, our restaurant population is going up and people are eating out more. That's what's taking those spaces, not so much retail.
Yeah.
It's hard to be in retail right now.
You know, on the flip side, I'm not... you know, it's true that less of our shopping has to happen out of town now. I know that for a fact. My wife actually does most of the shopping, and she has to make fewer trips to Rohnert Park or Santa Rosa. So in some ways, that's a good thing. We do need a balance. We need a certain amount of retail. But I just wonder if it's penciling out entirely. The fact that they're considering adding housing now to Deer Creek would indicate that it's not.
Well, it is the crisis du jour,
yeah.
You know, and we need to address it today, yeah. and you know, really do something to help the affordability issue. But we need to take a long view of what the complete picture is. Is there more retail needed, or can we shift it to those properties over time?
If we can get back to housing for a minute, I'm on your website right now, and if you want to go to Kevin's website, this is from your campaign, actually, but it's still active. It's votekevinmcdonnell.com. I'm looking at the issues, and you talk about housing, your support for urban growth boundaries and infill development. Great. You're against sprawl. All great. You want to make sure that we lobby the state to pass SB 961, which would support affordable housing development. And you talk about pushing for policy changes that would make it easier for developers to build the right kind of housing. Could you get into SB 961 a little bit?
Not so much.
Sorry. So this is a Senate bill.
But let me take it over in another direction,
okay.
Too. There's affordable housing is going to come in many different ways. And one of the ways is through our ADU policies. The city implemented, and the state also, facilitated better access to making ADUs happen.
ADU? Yeah,
accessory dwelling units or alternative dwelling units. So that means the conversion of garages or second unit, granny unit behind, or even within the house itself, your primary house. And this is a really great opportunity for aging-in-place opportunities, things where people don't want to leave their houses but have such expenses they need assistance.
Mm-hmm.
The net result of helping in that term was 8 units in Petaluma last year. 8 units is nothing. We need to go back and say, well, we tried to incentivize something. It didn't work. How can we improve the incentive on local things that are in our hands to try and help?
Mm-hmm.
Was there any incentive?
They relaxed rules on parking requirements on the ADU. If you want to build a second unit, and you need to have two more parking units, that can be a burden in many neighborhoods,
gotcha.
Right? And my take is people will informally rent out rooms in their house and have the same parking issue, or they'll build a nicer 300 to 500 square foot unit in the back and have the same parking. So either way, that thing is happening in our neighborhoods now. Let's make it, you know, a more formal arrangement.
Yeah. On the subject of building new housing, you do mention that you're not in favor of sprawl, which is a good thing. So I'd imagine that you're an advocate of transit-oriented development, building more in the Central Pacific Plan. Some candidates talked about increasing the limits, the amount of stories that we could do. Yeah. What's your feeling on that? Because I know it's a challenge because we want to pencil things out better for developers. There's ways to do that while you build up that can be better. But then it blocks scenic views. What are your feelings?
Well, we're already zoned to go 5 stories in the downtown area.
Yeah. I've heard some people want to go beyond that.
Which is tall. And I think on some properties you can go to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Not that 6 adds a whole lot, but it does add. And right now every bit helps. But more important than the height impact, I'd like to see the unit size or the unit fees change, mm-hmm. so that we get, you know, every unit that comes on, other than ones that are inclusionary affordable, are the next highest thing in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say 3,000 was the monthly rate on apartments of the last unit built. The next one comes in at 3,100 or the next one at 3,200. We have to stop that progression because all that's in an unaffordable range.
I think you're seeing people actually moving out of the area because of the high rents. There is more rentals available in Sonoma County than there had been.
And I asked that the other day, and they said that the number had gone up from a 1% vacancy rate to 4% vacancy rate within the city limits now.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And
that's for rentals.
That's for rentals.
Yeah.
And that's still not a very high number.
Mm-hmm.
And all the availability is high priced. And affordability is an interesting word because someone's paying it, so someone's affording it.
Right.
Just not our kids, just not the working class. You know, there's always somebody with money to push it up in a highly competitive market. That's not what we need. We don't need to push it up anymore.
I agree.
Yeah,
it's really a problem.
And of course, you have a lot of people coming from the city, tech workers and things that are actually coming to Petaluma and then commuting.
Right, and that tech money, especially in the house purchasing area.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'd like to see more work done with the Housing Land Trust, where we take the speculative element out of housing. You know, not for the whole market, but if you just take one or two more houses and put them in land trust, right, it helps keep the property values down, and it especially secures an affordable house.
Explain the land trust.
The land trust is a model of affordable housing, housing land trust, not open space land
trust,
where the land is owned by the trust and the house is owned by the affordable means-tested person who buys the house. So when they buy the house, they also buy a restriction on the rate of appreciation for a sale at a future date.
And the city of Petaluma has done that in the past.
The city of Petaluma is really good at it.
Yeah.
And their partner, the land trust here, and their staff are really good at this. But it's just it's not a big enough hit. You know, our problem is so big. Let's say an affordable a development comes through and they're bringing four units of affordable housing. It's not enough. You know, we need to change the dynamic, and well, that's the radical part where I want to be on the city council and I want to impact change.
Right. Yeah. And you know, and before you were sworn in, the city council with three of the projects went ahead and kind of excluded that element. From those three projects. That
they grandfathered
them in.
Yeah.
I mean, three major projects.
Right.
And so that's difficult to swallow. For me, at least.
Yeah. Switching gears a little bit, you're an avid bicyclist.
Yes.
That's really amazing. I was reading that you go from Monterey to Hearst Castle.
Oh, that's a really fun ride we do. It's Best Buddies. It's a charity for kids with disabilities. And so their program lines up buddies who help them through their lives, not family, you know, but volunteers. And this fundraiser is one of the Shriver charities. So Maria Shriver's the honorary chair. Tony Shriver runs it. And it's 100 miles. It's a full-on century. The most beautiful ride.
Oh, yes. I've driven it many times. I've never cycled it, though. But that is a narrow road and not a lot of good passing. I mean, that's
well, it's well supported. You see a lot of CHP down in that area.
Okay.
And it's held after Labor Day. So most of the Winnebagoes have gone wherever they go for the winter.
Well, the reason I got to your cycling point in terms of your background and your interest is because you talk about improving bicycle transit in Petaluma. There was a project that was approved a while back, and it was very controversial because several council members felt that some bike lanes should be included.
That was Riverfront.
And unfortunately, they weren't.
Or Marina Apartments.
I think we're in agreement that new developments should be taking into account the idea of encouraging bicycle transportation. As a council member and now vice mayor, is that something that you're going to be pushing for with new development projects?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you say we want to improve transportation in town, we want to make things better. You say, well, how are we going to widen Washington?
Yep.
Well, that's pretty tough.
Yep.
Every car you take off and get on a bike at a very low price improves the traffic in town. It's not feasible for all trips. I'm not saying that everybody's going to do it.
Sure.
But if you want the other guy to get off of your road so your car can go first, support him being on a bike.
Yeah.
Make it nice to be on a bike.
Yes. Yeah,
and,
that's true.
And there's a number of projects. The other day, Petaluma, the city has a pedestrian and bicycle advisory committee,
yes.
PBAC, and they had a presentation from the Public Works Department about the next big road improvement they're making, which is Sonoma Mountain Parkway, from the G&G Market to Corona Roundabout. And the bicycle committee was, add this, make the shoulders so that bikes can work in this area. And it's good that the city takes it to those citizen advisory committees and gets the feedback they need about good bicycling. I rang Smart up the other day. They have a bike path proposed
yes.
from South Point and McDowell along the tracks all the way to Perrin. It's a crosstown connector.
Yep.
It goes across the freeway there.
Yeah.
And it would really, really help. But it was posted for construction last year, and now they're proposing it for construction this summer. We have to stay after SMART and get what, I mean,
yeah.
We voted for SMART for a variety of reasons.
That's right. That was one of the things with SMART is we're going to get the bike paths.
Yeah.
And Petaluma always seems to be in the back burner, so I'm really glad to hear that you're going to be pushing that and watching it closely.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be great because try biking to Schoenberger Park from the west side.
Yeah.
It's not fun. I did it with my kids. And
yeah.
It's
yeah.
a dangerous, dangerous drive.
Yep.
I will remind everyone out there listening that we do have a great crosstown connector called the Lynch Creek Trail.
Yes.
And that, if you haven't gone on it ever or lately, it's definitely something to check out. It's very scenic in some of the parts. It goes right along the river. And then you end up right at the Freedman's Center, the Deer Creek Center. So very convenient.
And you can actually walk around if you go down where Freedman's is. Mm-hmm. You can walk around, and then there's the dog park. And
yeah.
So.
And there's spurs out to it at various locations.
Exactly.
It does.
The Burlington neighborhood.
Yeah.
In fact, I used it when I was canvassing for Teresa Barrett.
Yeah.
I did it by bicycle, and I went off the Lynch Creek Trail, and I was able to go to these areas on the east side I'd actually never been to.
Now, it needs some help.
Yes, it does.
It does.
Yeah.
And there are many groups in town all thinking, we need to improve Lynch Creek Trail. And typical of most problems, there are independent groups thinking about how to improve something.
Mm-hmm.
All the groups need to meet each other.
Yes.
No matter what topic we're talking about, we need to find our allies and get together. We're more powerful with a larger voice.
Well, because you don't want to reinvent the wheel, but you need to pull together because there's a whole group that wants to work on the Lynch Creek Trail. You know, people that live there because they want it safer because they're homeless people.
Yeah.
I mean, we
drugs.
The drugs.
So and some of the improvements for Lynch Creek Trail will be a vegetation effort, and so the trail is passable all the time, and that there's not homeless right on the trail, and some of it is just trail surfacing improvements.
Exactly.
And now with Measure M coming down from the county,
great.
The city will need to prioritize its projects and group advocacy like this to the Park and Rec Commission. Or which projects get funded from Measure M?
Which Measure M?
County tax of
the
last of 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's going to.
Well,
bring
it was Measure M that was the one. Freeway too, and so that's why, because there was money for that also for trails. So I'm wondering if you're going to get money from that Measure M and this Measure M.
Well, this is the parks one that just passed you're talking
right.
about. Remember
right.
we
Oh, right. Okay,
Madison.
We're talking about the parks.
We covered that, actually, on one of the shows. Yeah. Listeners can go to our InsidePetaluma.com and listen to that show in the archive. I wanted to get into road diets since we're talking about transportation and obviously making it safer for pedestrians and bicycles. You know, road diets have been a solution, and they're not always without controversy. In fact, the one that's downtown on Petaluma Boulevard was very controversial. That was, I think, that passed by a very narrow vote, I believe.
Are we talking about from D Street South?
No, I'm talking
the one
about
that
the
is
one right
completed.
Downtown.
And north of Washington.
Yeah, yeah, but mainly between Washington and, B Street?
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on that road diet specifically?
But I thought we were from D Street South, there was supposed to be a road diet.
There is.
Also.
That's true. That's
and I'm just wondering when that's going to be part.
Well, before we get to there, I'd like to ask his opinion on the current one that's right downtown, because that seems to be the most controversial.
Both are good questions, and I hope there's the controversy wanes on something that's already built. We're not going to go backwards on that one.
That's kind of my take
exactly.
on it. I mean, some of the people that have said, you know, we shouldn't have this thing. The thing is that they don't understand. Some people don't understand. Is that was approved through a safety grant.
Right.
So then what are you doing? You're going to rip it up, and then we have to pay the state back money, or then it's like we're now creating an unsafe condition? Or,
you know? It's really funny what we arrange our world around cars. And we need to stop having our world arranged around cars.
Yes.
We need to be successful at getting where we want to go, but it can't be at the expense of the cars. Like, there's a joke that there's really no housing problem
mm-hmm.
if you're a car. You have a garage, you have a driveway, you have street parking,
yeah.
but we don't protect people in the same way we protect cars. We need to protect people. So safety improvements like the bulb outs at the corners and the narrowing of lanes and the median resting area where you're safe in the center in a two-way turn lane. Yeah. But we have to modify our driving. We have to be smarter and learn things like a two-way turn lane.
Yes.
It's a pocket lane you jump into or jump out of. And if you do it well, more traffic flows on a street. I mean, you know, the same with the roundabouts. People say, oh, it's challenging to go to the roundabout.
They're not used to them.
And people say, I really had to slow down to get through that roundabout.
That's
and you say, it's a traffic calming device. That's success. That's the definition of success.
You know, Kevin, you just said something important. Traffic is really about traffic calming. It's about moving traffic. And people don't realize that they're still moving because they have been told for so many years in this town, you are in gridlock. And people have heard this for so long that they don't realize for every small change, traffic flows better.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not really about having these big projects. It's about being smarter with turn lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll use the Washington McDowell as the perfect example. If that hadn't been done 18 years ago, traffic in this town would be in complete gridlock. And then working with Caltrans to get that northbound on-ramp onto the freeway, what made it that you didn't have to have that left-hand turn lane, and so you ended up having a longer pocket lane to turn left onto McDowell. Mm-hmm. And people, and you had to get the maximum out of what you had to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really about traffic flow.
Mm-hmm.
And if people realize that, and if they're not told fake news for 25 years that you are in gridlock, the new people coming in, you're not hearing that same mantra like you used to.
Right.
It was interesting when I was running for council and I came in fourth. I needed to come in third, and they ended up appointing the person who came in fifth. But Healy, who I had asked to potentially support me in the appointment process, because, you know, in that case, the charter doesn't stipulate that it just goes to the next highest vote getter. Healy wanted me to speak before the council and say that the road diet was a bad idea and that I didn't support it. So it was very interesting. He was very much against it at the time. You don't hear him talking about it now that we've got it. But what few people also don't appreciate about that is it was grant match funding for repaving that street. So not only did it make it safer, it gave our funding. It gave us funding in order to improve the road. And it's also, now we have fewer accidents.
A lot of the funding that our roads, a lot of the funding that comes for our roads comes from competitive state and federal criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And they put up criteria for safety.
Yeah.
And that's how you fund local
projects.
That's right.
And South Boulevard will be the same element there. And, you know, and where will we find the money to do all? I mean, people complain about potholes. You know, we need to take advantage of every funding opportunity we have.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's a good segue. Dispensaries. Here's some revenue that we're just leaving on the table. We're the only city in Sonoma County, I think, that doesn't have a dispensary in town. If there's another one, let me know.
Well, there was an article in the paper today about dispensaries, you know, a bigger one for the state itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's talking about that. I mean, sometimes like the tax is like 50%. Every city can decide on their own tax. And you're basically taxing yourself out of business because the tax is so high. You don't have the same alcohol tax.
Right.
And so I think there needs to be a coming of the ways with the state and the cities that you need to come up with a tax. It needs to be consistent.
Sure.
This is my feeling.
Yeah.
Consistent. It needs to be a lot lower.
Yeah.
And so you know what kind of a tax you're going to have in because people are now buying illegal because of the tax.
That may be, but there's...
We haven't been specific here. We're talking about cannabis.
Yes. I said dispensary. Well, the reality is...
I just read that this morning.
That may be, and that's true. Still, it's a lot of revenue coming in that we're not getting. And I hear a lot of council members when they're running talking about leaving no stone unturned with looking for revenue. This seems like a real obvious one. Right now, we have, like, I think over 60% of Petalumans who favored recreational use of marijuana being legal. And that's a pretty big segment of the population. We've got about 60,000 people in town. How much revenue are we missing out on? How much is going to Cotati? How much is going to Sebastopol, Santa Rosa? So
are we talking retail leakage again?
Yes. So I would, exactly. It's like, why is that retail leakage an issue when it comes to, you know, retail, but when it comes to something that's safer than alcohol and legal, we can't have it. So what are your thoughts on that?
First, I don't have a grip on the magnitude of the revenue of a tax, and I know you've mentioned Cotati's doing well, but they were the first ones out of the gate with Mercy and Sebastopol with theirs.
Yes.
But, you know, the city has a tremendous financial crisis that it really needs to address, and will need, I mean, in the discussion, and to change the subject a little, I will come back to cannabis.
Sure.
In the last election, all council candidates said revenue was important.
Exactly.
That cutting the city budget had been done already. It was to the bone. And 75% of the population showed up for this last election. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Right? And they voted for candidates who all said revenue enhancements important. Yet the Argus poll, not that we trust Argus polls, said 50-50. You know, I mean, the city has a large way to go to showing how needed that revenue increase is.
I'm going to go back to transportation. Mm-hmm. This is a real problem. For 30 years, the city's kind of played around with transportation, and at the same time of asking for a tax, because we definitely need something, we know that the cost of pensions are going to exceed what the city's revenues are coming in. But then to spend $80 million on a crosstown connector is really hard to swallow when I look at Caulfield. Transportation's my deal for 25 years. I walked Caulfield. I see what they just did at Corona and Sonoma Mountain Parkway. We're not really thinking strategically. And when you think strategically, you can get taxes passed. Mm-hmm. But when you're going to throw an $80 million a bond or something on a project that I think a lot of people are thinking twice about.
Well,
just to throw that out.
Yeah, regarding that, and that's a good one. I think the numbers of this, for the city's financial crisis are in their budget. They're well represented in the budget. You can see the train wreck happening.
Exactly.
But we need to communicate it. And less so is my understanding of Rainier and where the actual funding comes from. Mm. When you say $80 million, you know, is it a straight bond, a bond paid by whom, with what commitment against it, this kind of thing. Put the numbers down, communicate the numbers.
That's well, the other
engineer in me talking.
But the other thing is with this is that we were told that the shopping centers, the development was going to pay for Rainier. This is what the public was told.
Yep.
And now they're saying we're not. It's kind of like Trump saying Mexico is going to pay for the wall.
Yeah.
It's the exact same analogy.
I have trouble with talk. Talk is cheap. I want to see a contract.
Exactly.
You show me a contract. You know, you lay it out here and say that's the arrangement.
Yeah.
Then we can vote.
So get to
back
get,
to cannabis.
To get back to cannabis after that tangent.
I'll
try a segue here. I don't think the cannabis sales will fund Rainier. It might fund fixing some potholes. So they'll probably fill some potholes with pot revenue.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I do like that campaign.
I like that.
But I would also add to this point about the council members that were running. I don't think there was a single council member who said they were not in favor of it who got elected.
I'm going to raise my hand right here.
You were one.
Yeah, at the chamber event, asked this question. I said, I think it's okay to wait a little.
Oh,
I
you
think,
did. You
I
were
think
one of those.
I really, yeah, I'm the bad guy here.
I take my
back. You said wait and see.
I said wait and see.
Yes,
every
sir.
City is starting these things, and I don't feel the need to be the first kid in and have all the lumps and bumps.
So I think you were the only one, because I think all the other candidates said they were open to it.
And I think that it's coming, and I think that we'll do it. But I would rather all those ordinances get tested in other cities.
Mm-hmm. They've been tested.
A year, two
it's
years.
Happened.
And then, then
how much time do you want to wait?
You come
we're
in.
Bleeding. We're hemorrhaging. We're spending money outside the county.
No, I think it's time to have the conversation.
Absolutely.
Other cities have been moving forward for enough years that we can see what other cities are doing.
Oh.
And it just seems as though it's time to...
We're leaving money on the table.
Yeah.
We are leaving
yeah.
money on the table. And
yeah.
I do want to see what that magnitude of money is at which place.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right about the tax problem. And I don't want to see a high tax drive the illegal market. and continue. I mean, the idea
right,
is to
exactly.
reduce the amount of crime that occurs because of illegal drug use. It's to try and legalize the use.
The other thing is they're different customers. The person that goes into one of these dispensaries and buys something, they're not even considering wanting to deal with growing it themselves or getting it through another source because they
so
want...
So hard to make candy.
It's hard to make the edibles. Okay. There's all kinds of bombs and things. We went to the Emerald Cup, and it's amazing the number of products. There's hemp soap.
Yes,
there's
right.
all these different things. I don't know what they do, but...
I do.
That's right. Did it work? That hemp soap, by the way?
Maybe.
How do you
find out? I'm still on the wall.
How's your aches and pains? Are they better?
Yeah, I don't know. I have to put my vape pen down long enough. <right. laughs>
But now, since we're talking about taxes, obviously... Last time the city tried to put forward a tax,
2014.
On the ballot, it was a miserable failure. We spent a lot of money to put it on the ballot. I don't know how much it cost, several thousand dollars.
Right.
And
a lot more than that.
It was a failure. And part of it was there was a divided council. Two of the wiser members of the council, in my opinion, were.
Well, the measure was flawed.
Of the belief that it wasn't going to pass. So what can we do to come up with something that people can embrace? Do you think it needs to be a specific tax, like I've heard Teresa Barrett advocate for? It does take a higher threshold, as you mentioned, to pass. But people generally seem to be more comfortable with something that's specific to, for example, road repair.
Right. I think the general fund is the thing that first needs major funding. All our labor costs to the city, all our services to the city are all, cut to the bone. Mm-hmm. We do need to invest more in our police department. We need to invest more in our fire department and in our parks department and in our public works department. So, I mean, the labor costs, that's general fund money. That's not roads money.
Yeah.
But it's of such a magnitude that we really absolutely need to do something. And the timeline on this is, nothing happens this year.
Yeah.
It'll have to be on a ballot in the following year.
Yeah.
So this year is all about proving
it
the right one. And so it means discussing, is it part cannabis? Is it part this? And going to the people. I mean, I think the whole council's job and everybody who cares about potholes and police is to talk to each other with real numbers, some facts and data out there about what's needed. I mean, we really need to be on the same page. As a council, the proposal has to be unanimous. As the citizenry, you need to have everybody saying, yeah, I trust them. That is the right answer. They've talked to me. They've gone out and met in the neighborhoods, and they've crafted the best possible answer here.
Do you think it's going to come down to a combination of a parcel tax and some sort of sales tax? Or some people are talking about a real estate transfer tax.
You have to be open to every idea, like even cannabis.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I mean, you have to be open to every idea.
Yeah.
But my thinking is, tax-wise, where I sit now is I think people might vote for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You put several things on a ballot and
tax fatigue.
And other outside issues on the same ballot.
But people may support a tax for, we're going to do a tax for 7 years. And then we're going to go and see what the city does. That's what Santa Rosa did.
Yeah,
and it has been successful.
That was one of the problems with Measure Q.
It was long term. But the other thing, I was talking to the chief Monday night. And I said that, it would be really great if we could get a group of people together to talk to the Police Officers Association, because there was definitely a butting of the heads of who they endorsed and what happens during elections. And it seems like we all need to start working together and saying, hey, we need to work together, we need to communicate better, and we need to stop this biting and fighting back and forth every election with those groups. And the citizens really need to, both sides need to work together. And he said he would help pull together a meeting like that. And I think it's important.
Yeah, I'd like to not think of it as a both sides,
that's
a binary.
Why, that's
I'm not
why
thinking
of
binary.
Yeah.
I think it's, for the community. What does it take to make this community whole?
But you have to get together and have that conversation with them.
And
that's
encouraged.
What I think is really important, not just for you, but for the community.
And I'm glad to see some groups moving in this direction already, taking the lessons of this election cycle, trying to meet with differing groups. And Petaluma is a very cool place for howitz people do talk to each other.
There did seem to be a lot of consensus on doing something new with the fairgrounds as another revenue source.
Roll one more topic in here.
A lot of ideas. Yeah, we're ready.
That's like almost a topic for a whole show.
Sure. But obviously you've had some thoughts on what might change there. Obviously, we can't just do a dollar a year for the rent of that space. We want to have a fair still there. Do you have ideas?
I concur on that whole part. And the main thing is there's four more years on that lease.
Yeah.
At the end of the 4 years, you need to implement the plan.
Exactly.
That means the next 4 years are making the plan.
Yeah.
And I worry that we get to the date. Oh, are we closing up here?
No.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead and finish.
We need to be ready to rock and roll when the lease ends with whatever the next era is. But right now, the citizens need to know. We need to say what our bottom line goal is for that property. We do want a fair. We do want money. We think it'll be. So we need to run public charrettes on what would work.
Mm-hmm.
Like the idea of moving all our civic complex there is a great idea, but I don't think fundable. I don't think we have any money for that.
Well, you sell.
You are out of time, you guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, but we've been...
It's been wonderful being here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you've been listening to Inside Petaluma, and I'm Cindy Thomas, Jason Davies, and Janet Peter Thompson, my co-hosts, and we've had Kevin McDonald on today, and thank you for being here, Kevin.
Thank you.
And again, go to InsidePetaluma.com and listen to any of our shows in our archives folder.
Including this one, if you didn't catch us.
Yeah, and we will see you next Friday. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Everybody have a good weekend.
Yes, thanks.
It's like...
Thank you.